Matthew chapter 9. The message today is Jesus, the great physician. Jesus, the great physician. I want to read several scriptures. First of all, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your teacher with the tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard it, he said, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what this meaneth. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners, and Luke tells us, to repentance. I came to call sinners to repentance. Notice, here the Lord Jesus speaks about a physician and those who need a physician. Now, Mark chapter 5. Verse 45. And a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, having heard the things concerning Jesus, came in the crowd behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I touch but his garments, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague. And straightway Jesus, perceiving it in himself, that power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned him about in the crowd and said, Who touched my garment? And his disciples said unto him, You see the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had been done to her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now Luke 4. Verse 18. Our Savior is reading from the prophecy of Isaiah, and in verse 18, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and so forth. And then look at verse 21. And he began to say unto them, Today hath this scripture been fulfilled in your ears. And all bearing witness and wondered at the words of grace which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, Doubtless you will say unto me this parable, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thine own country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, No prophet is acceptable in his own country. Now, turn back to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, because last week, when I told you about the Lord Jesus as the speaker of parables, It was because it was prophesied in Psalm 78 that he would be a speaker of parables. And now, here is something that is remarkable in Isaiah 53, a chapter that we never think of having to do with Jesus as a physician, but let's see what it says in verse 4. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But what we fail to understand is that literally this is what it says in verse 4. Surely he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. And so here, first of all, is a picture of those who are sinners. They are like sick ones. They are in pain. And it says, surely he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Now, turn to Matthew again. Matthew in the New Testament. And this will tell us the fulfillment of this prophecy. Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, look at verse 14. When Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto him. And when evening was come, they brought unto him many possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with the word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our diseases. So here is a fulfillment that we never realized but prophesied in Isaiah 53. Now, let us look to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the fullness of your Son, who has told us this which is incomprehensible to us. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We can understand the Godhead, but then you say, it dwelt in him bodily. And our Savior came from heaven, and he took a body. The Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And we desire to learn something about him, our Father, when he was on earth, in the body. And so from the scriptures that we've read, we pray that we shall learn by thy Spirit, teach us. Let us be stronger and wiser, and let us be more trusting of thee, our Father, having understood these scriptures. We are thankful for those who are here. For those who are not, we pray for them, Father. You know their need. So bless our little coming together, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I told you that Christ spoke no less than 57 parables. And in these, as I recall it, 35 have him as a subject or a part of the parable. Now, it's so the same in the portion that we have today. Christ is in the portions that I have read to you. And like last week, Psalm 78 told us something about Christ when he came in the flesh. So today, another portion in Isaiah 53 tells us about something that Christ does when he's in the flesh. I told you last week from Psalm 78 that it said, that Christ was going to be a speaker of parables. Today, it tells us in Isaiah 53 that our Lord Jesus Christ is going to be a healer of those who are sick. Now, if I ask you, what is the definition of a physician, of a doctor? He is one who heals people, or at least attempts to. But the word heal and the word physician in the Greek is the same root word. And so when we call Jesus the physician, we call him the healer. And so think of this now. In the parables that Christ spoke, he speaks of himself as a physician, one who heals sick people. Now, here is what is so remarkable. I told you last week that the Lord Jesus described himself in a parable as a happy child and as a mother hen. You say, how was that? The Savior said in this parable, you are like children in the marketplace who say, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. And he said, I came like a happy child playing a tune to make you glad. And you rejected me. You would have none of it. The Lord Jesus said in a parable that I am like a happy child. And I told you this. The Lord Jesus said, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings. And the Lord Jesus compares himself to a mother hen who would gather her little biddies under her wings to protect them from danger. You say, isn't this a remarkable thing that the Son of God would say that he was like a happy child and like a mother hen? Indeed. But today he compares himself to something else. He compares himself to a physician. And there were many other scriptures that I wanted to read to you, but I did not read them to you. Perhaps I will mention them to you as we go along. But today, when he is using a parable, he describes himself as a physician. But the Lord Jesus is not a happy child like ordinary happy children, because this happy child was born without sin. And this mother hen is not like other hens, because I've seen some hens that if you run at them, they will flee and abandon the little chicks that they should be protecting. But the Lord Jesus is a happy child and a mother hen. And today, the Lord Jesus is a physician who is unlike those physicians I read you about in Mark chapter 5. It speaks about a woman that has an issue of blood. She has an internal hemorrhage, and it's not that she hasn't tried to do anything about it. It said that she has gone to many physicians, and they weren't able to do anything to help her. But they did do one thing. They took all the money that she had, because it said she became impoverished. She had spent everything she had on physicians, and these physicians were able to do nothing for her. Now think, there is nothing wrong with physicians, because the Lord Jesus said, they that are healthy, they that are well, have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. The Lord Jesus tells us about physicians, and thank God for physicians like Luke, the physician. But there are many charlatans in the world, and I hear about them on the news all the time. After a long while, the government catches them, and they are pretending to bring in sick people, and they're not sick at all. And they say that they've healed these people, and they send this large bill to the government. But they are physicians of no worth. You realize that Job speaks about his friends that have come to heal his wounded soul, to give comfort to him in all his affliction, and he listens to what they say, and then this is what Jesus says about them. He says, "You are physicians without worth." He said, "You are unprofitable. You have done nothing for me in all that you've spoken." And so notice now, we've read about physicians, and the physicians in the case of Job were physicians of no value. And we have read about physicians in the case of this woman with an issue of blood, and they were physicians of no value. But when you come to the Lord Jesus, I told you that in every aspect of his life, when he shows us that he's a carpenter, he's the finest of carpenters, and at the same time, when he's a happy child, when he is a mother hen, when he is a physician, he is the finest of physicians. He's been called the great physician, but he's more than that. He is the incomparable physician for this reason. When this woman, who had tried every other physician that she knew of, they could do nothing for, and they had failed. It's amazing that this woman still had faith that anybody could do anything for. But in her heart she said, "If I can but touch the hem of Christ's garment, I shall be made whole." Think of that. Here is another physician, and all the other physicians, though they had failed, they had not discouraged her to have faith in the Lord Jesus, the great physician, the incomparable physician, because if all other physicians failed and the Lord Jesus is successful, who could be compared to him? Nobody could. And so the Lord Jesus is the incomparable physician. Great, yes, but so great that he is beyond compare. And this woman does not have an appointment that Jesus might listen to her, find out what's wrong. She knows what's wrong, and she goes and she touches the hem of his garment. And as soon as she does, what all the physicians could not do, immediately was done, and her issue of blood was dried up. Think of that. And you realize that no earthly physician that helps you can do anything for you. He can operate, but then your body has to eventually heal. He can give you medicine, but the medicine he gives, your system has to assimilate it. They can only suggest, they can only give to you, but of themselves, they can do nothing. And one doctor confessed this to me. He said, "All of these people that come to me," he said, "many of them are sick, and I tell them what to do, and they do it, and they get well." He said, "But if they went on for 6 months and let nature take its course, they would get well, and they wouldn't have to come to me." He made that confession. And so there are some sicknesses that will heal themselves, but there are some sicknesses like cancer and like this issue of blood in the woman, and they would never be healed. They would grow worse. She grew not better, but she grew worse. And eventually, all her strength and blood would be gone, and she would die. But in spite of the failure of all other physicians, she said, this physician can do something for me. And instead of the physician coming and examining her, she did not even touch any physical part of him, but she touched the hem of his garment, and immediately she was healed. It says this, that power had gone forth from the Lord Jesus. Now that's the difference. An earthly physician can do nothing for you. If he lays his hands on you, it may be that there is something out of joint and he can put it back in place. But if there is cancer in you, if there is a disease in you, and the physician lays his hands upon you, no power comes forth from him. He can do absolutely nothing for you of himself. But the Lord Jesus has the power of God in him. And when someone touches the Lord Jesus or anything upon the Lord Jesus, the power that is in him, inherent in him, comes forth. And so the Lord Jesus is not to be compared with any other earthly physician. Thank God for those that know about our hearts and can tell us what to do. Thank God for the physician that operated on me and replaced arteries with healthy arteries. Thank God for that. But when he did that, my body had to repair itself. But if the Savior had been where I was, he would have simply touched me or spoken the word. And what all the doctors had to do and the illness that I had to go through for 6 months, in a moment of time, it would have been cured and there would have been no time of healing. That is why I say the Lord Jesus is the incomparable physician. And for this reason, the Savior, when he would heal one like this woman, he would go to a certain town, and when he visited that town, he would heal one or two, and then those that were healed would rush and get their friends. And those that saw the Savior had healed them, they would go and bring in all the sick and afflicted that they could lay hands on. And they would be brought to Jesus, and this is what the Bible says. He healed them all. Tell me one that was ever brought to the Lord Jesus that he failed to heal. You say, why? There never was one. Why, of course not. Because the Lord Jesus is the great physician, and the Lord Jesus is the incomparable physician. And this is the way that God sets him forth in the Scriptures. And what is so remarkable is this, that when God sent him from heaven, never forget this, part of his mission was to heal the bodies of men as well as the souls of men. And so the Lord Jesus, in fulfillment of Isaiah 53, which has a twofold application, he was the healer of men's bodies as well as the healer of men's souls. But this is a parable in itself. Do you realize that every sickness, every illness that is found in man is a parable, is a picture of some spiritual sickness that is wrong with you? It says concerning Asa in the Old Testament, he was diseased in his feet. What does that mean? That means that spiritually his feet went astray. It says concerning another that he had a withered hand. It means that he was not able to work for God. But the Lord Jesus could heal that hand, and then he could work for God. And concerning others, they were blind, and the Lord Jesus would heal those blind eyes. But that was a physical thing, but it's a picture of the spiritual blindness of man, and the Lord Jesus could heal that spiritual blindness as well. But God sent him from heaven and showed us that he could do two things. An earthly physician is able, with the wisdom God gives him, to tell what treatment should be followed, to tell what medicine should be taken, but he's not able, as the Lord Jesus had come, and with a touch of his hand, heal any disease that we have. And so that is why God sets him forth, and that is why in this instance, the Lord Jesus speaks of himself in a way that is essential, and that is one of greatness. Because when I worked years ago, I did the work of a common laborer. I had a pick, and I would dig in the ground. I would carry burdens. I did menial tasks. But if someone had said, "What is the profession of your son?" my mother would have said, "Why, he is in construction work," and I was in the lowest part of construction work. But if someone could say, "My son is a doctor, my son is a lawyer, my son is a professor," why, they are high things. And so in this instance, whereas the Lord Jesus at times calls himself a happy child and a mother hen, today he calls himself a physician, and he is a physician beyond compare. So today, in Psalm 78, whereas he's called the speaker of parables, in Isaiah 53, he is called the physician that heals bodies. But now, if the Lord Jesus came from heaven, and God only sent him to heal the sick, how imperfect would be this mission of the Lord Jesus from heaven? Because if he healed your body and left you, but then went back to heaven, what would happen when you reach 70 or 80 years? What would happen? You say, that body that was healed, it would have some other sickness, and it would die. Well, of course, and the Lord Jesus knows that. And so for that reason, the healing of the body is a lesser thing. It's the greatest thing to us, but the Lord Jesus, it is a lesser thing. And I have seen, and I remember learning, the difference between the healing of the body and the healing of the soul. When I visited up in Virginia many years ago, this tuberculosis sanatorium, and I was in the men's ward, and there were about 10 or 15 sick men with tuberculosis there, and I was reading to them about the things that the Lord Jesus could do, and I read, as I recall, about Jesus healing bodies and healing souls. And I pointed out that the important thing was the healing of our soul. And I asked this question. I said, "Now, if you had this opportunity today to let God either heal your body, but leave your soul in its spiritual condition, or heal your soul and leave your body in its condition, which would you ask him to do, to heal your soul or your body?" And I remember one of the patients saying in a sickly way, "I would ask him to heal my soul." And some of the other patients turned on him and said, "That's a lie. You would ask him to heal your body just as we would." And so I said, "Thank God. I believe that the answer he gave was false, but the others knew it as well." And what is so sad is this, that many people, if their children were at the point of death, if they were even atheists, they would try praying to God, "Heal my child." And if they were healed, then perhaps they would say, "Thank you." Or perhaps they would say, "Well, maybe there is a God after all." But it does not mean if they had even seen God answer their prayer and heal their child, it does not mean that they would believe in God and they would go to have their souls healed. And so there is this difference. But the Lord Jesus was one who could do two things. And he did it, and he showed us in Mark and in the other Gospels as well that he could do both. In this instance, when a man who was paralyzed had to be brought to four friends, and there were so many people around the Lord Jesus, they were not able to bring their needy friend close enough for Jesus to do anything for him. And so they tore up the roof, and they let him down in the presence of Jesus. And it said, Jesus, seeing their faith, said, Son, your sins are forgiven you. Now think, here is a man so sick that he's paralyzed. He's not able to walk. He needs four friends to bring him to Jesus. And the Lord Jesus looks at him and he says, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I think the man would say, I came to have my body healed. But the Lord Jesus said he also came to have his sins forgiven. Why? It says he saw their faith. And so he said, and he took care of the most important thing first, Son, thy sins be forgiven. Now, there was no doubt that those who were looking as to what Jesus did, when they heard him say, Son, thy sins are forgiven, they could doubt that. Why? Because if I told you your sins were forgiven, how could you prove it? If you have paralysis and you're not able to move, but I heal you physically and you get up and walk, there's no doubt that I am a physician that is adequate. I am able to heal you. But if I tell you your sins are forgiven, nobody knows that. But the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to prove the one by doing the other. He said that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, take up your bed and walk. And the man who was paralyzed suddenly was filled with health and strength. And he took up his bed and went out. And then the Lord Jesus proved by this physical demonstration that he also had authority to do spiritually what he had demonstrated. And for that reason, when the Lord Jesus speaks words and we cannot see what he said has come to pass, they are just as true as if the Lord Jesus has done a physical thing that we can see has come to pass. If the man is paralyzed and I say, take up your bed and walk, and he does, you cannot deny that I am the great physician. But if I say, your sins are forgiven, you can say, that is a lie. You have no authority to forgive sins. But the Lord Jesus proved the one by the other. So, the Lord Jesus wants himself in a parable to be looked upon as a physician, and he shows us this after having cured ever so many sick people. He says, I've come to heal you spiritually as well. Because the Lord Jesus said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. Now, this is the application. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. For here is one who is a physician, and he heals sick people. And the Lord Jesus said, yes. And I did not come to do anything for people that are self-righteous, but I came to heal people that are spiritually sick and helpless, and can do nothing for themselves. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And when he said that, some of them took offense. And when the Lord Jesus demonstrated that he had physical power, and then he said, I have spiritual powers as well, they were prepared to put him to death. But the Lord Jesus had both of those powers. And so the Lord Jesus is the great physician, the incomparable physician for this reason. There was no disease that had been brought upon man by the sin of Adam. Every disease, and even the ultimate penalty of Adam's sin, death. There was no disease, and even death, that this physician could not deal with. And there was no sinner, no matter how great he was, that this spiritual physician could not heal the soul of. Why? Because he is the incomparable physician. He came to heal men's bodies because that is understood by God, a need of man that he can understand. And yet, a man has a greater need in the forgiveness of sins, but he's not able to see that. In fact, you'll find in John's Gospel that the Lord Jesus had healed a blind man, and he's discussing the healing of this blind man, and some self-righteous Jews come to him when the Lord Jesus said, I came for this purpose, to open the eyes of those that are blind, and to blind those that say they see. And these Jews started thinking, and they said, well, are we blind? And the Lord Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. He said, your sin remaining. The Lord Jesus is telling them that those that are healthy have no need of a physician. And here are these self-righteous Pharisees, and they say, we have no need of forgiveness of sins, for we are self-righteous. And the Lord Jesus said, well then, I can do nothing for you, because they that are healthy have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. If you come to me and say, Lord, I spiritually am blind, I spiritually am lame in my legs, my hands are withered, my soul is unworthy, I need forgiveness of sins. The Lord Jesus could say to them, son, thy sins are forgiven. But if any of you were well, would you go to the physician? You say, well, I'm supposed to go and have a checkup. Yes. And if you went and the doctor said there's nothing wrong with you, then did you need that physician? You say, only for him to tell me that I was healthy. But there was never a sinner that came to the Lord Jesus to whom Christ said, you don't need me. You are spiritually healthy. You have no sin. There was no one that ever came to the Lord Jesus that did not need the healing of his soul. And the Lord Jesus is that physician that can heal the greatest of sinners, the soul that is burdened with the greatest amount of sins, because he's already done it. The Apostle Paul tells us this. He said, I am the chief of sinners. And if the physician has forgiven the chief of sinners, then he can forgive us. And for that reason, I told you this, that every disease that has come from the disobedience of Adam is a picture of some kind of sin in the life of man. If you were able to figure it out, you would see just what it was. Because at times, there was leprosy of the head. You say, yes, a man's mind is corrupted. A man's thinking is destroyed by this disease of leprosy. And you go and ask the preachers in Goldsboro, how do I get to heaven? And those that had been greatly trained and had not set their faith upon the word of God would give you some answer like self-righteousness. Do the best you can. Join the church. Things of that nature. They will tell you that. But they have their mind diseased with cancer. And others that are trying to walk for God are lame in the feet. And so God has sent his son to heal all the physical diseases, to show you that he can heal all the spiritual diseases. And this is what I can promise you. That if you came and asked me to tell you every sin that was in your life, if you told me your history, I could listen to that history if you told me the truth, and I could say, yes, I see that here you have sinned, and here you have sinned, and you have this tendency in your life toward sin. But if you told me the truth, everything that you had ever done, I would not be able to tell you every sin that you had ever committed. And I would never think, if David was telling me of his life, that I would say to him, do you not understand that you also are capable of murder and adultery and lying and deceit? I would never tell David that, but he was. And that is the sad thing, that you look into the heart of man, and I look at it, and I might see a few things that are wrong, but I cannot see everything that's wrong. And because of that, some men have a righteousness and integrity, and it's so good that they say, I don't need Jesus. A man was told, you should make peace with God. He said, why should I make peace with God? I'm not his enemy. But little does he know that all of us are born separated from God. And it says we are filled with hate. And what happens is this, and I've never recovered from thinking it, that the Lord Jesus, when he went home to the synagogue, where he had been brought up. He had been going to that synagogue his whole life long, and now he's 30 years old. And he had heard those in the synagogue sing. He had heard them read the scripture. He had heard them pray. And the Lord Jesus read one portion from Isaiah. And when he read it and spoke a few words concerning what Isaiah had said, they wanted to murder the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not able to look at your heart. If you told me your life, I never would say, you are capable of murdering the Son of God. But I know that you are. Because the ones that murdered the Son of God were, first of all, the religious leaders of the nation of Israel. And they were able to persuade the ordinary people of Israel to murder the Son of God. And so that is why I'm so thankful that this physician that God sent from heaven looks at my body and he sees what part of it needs healing. And if it's my hand, he can heal that withered hand. If I'm lame in the feet, he can heal my feet. And if I have an issue of blood, he is able to heal that, and is able to look into the depths of my soul, and he sees every sin that needs to be forgiven, and he sees the potential that is there to do evil, just how sinful I can be, and he gives me strength to no longer continue in sin, but to serve God, to live a life of righteousness. And so this is why the Lord Jesus is the incomparable physician, not only the great physician, but the incomparable physician, because when he was on earth, understand this, he demonstrated that he could heal men's bodies in fulfillment of Isaiah 53, and he could heal men's souls in fulfillment of Isaiah 53, because he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes will you heal. Isaiah says, I'm sending my son from heaven to do two things, to heal your body and to heal your soul. Now, in this age, he is only healing souls. if I go and speak to a man who says, I want my sins forgiven, I have the keys of the kingdom. I have the knowledge of the Word of God, and I can tell him how to trust the Lord Jesus and have all his sins forgiven, how he can be admitted into the kingdom of God. But I am not able to do anything for his body. The Lord Jesus was, and the apostles were, but I'm not able. But I told you this, that the Lord Jesus is that great physician, and he was sent to heal bodies and to heal souls. Well, now the Lord Jesus is still healing souls. And I promise you, if he heals your soul, in the coming day, he will heal your body. But that has to wait. It says in Philippians 3, he shall heal, he shall change our vile bodies and conform them to his glorious body. And so that's why Jesus is the great physician. That's why he's the incomparable physician. And God is sending from heaven to heal our bodies and to heal our souls. And he will heal our souls today. And in faith, we know he'll heal our bodies tomorrow. Jesus, the incomparable physician. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for this one that you've sent from heaven. There's never been one like him, our God. And we are thankful that some would look upon him and say, this man can do nothing. But our God, there were others who could say, yes, Lord, I believe that you can open my eyes. I believe that you can heal my body. We are thankful, our Father, that we believe everything written of your Son. We are thankful that we believe that today he has forgiven us our sins. And in the coming day, he will heal our bodies. It shall be conformed to his glorious body. And so he's done all things well, starting now. And ultimately, he will do things to perfection in the future. And so bless us, Father. Help us physically now.